All right, gang, it is time for Puck Off. Andy Beccaro is here with me, Fraser Smith. We are in the All Things Comedy Studios here in Burbank, California. And our buddy Joe Bartnick on the road still down there in Tampa. And I know those people are upset about the game last night, Joe.
Well, you know, Jacob Verana, you can only hope to contain him. You can't stop him. He had two goals, and you guys looked good last night without Larkin. I was going to lead the news. Larkin taking the rest of the year off, core muscle.
Yeah, that's well, there's not a lot of games left.
Yeah, it's like,
so,
what, four or five games.
Yeah, so we can probably get through it without him, but hope that's not something that's worse.
Well, what's cool is they said 10 weeks, so that means he'll be ready for camp. So,
well, we're going to need him. yeah, but it was nice to see them play well last night. You know, maybe Tampa Bay's taking their foot off the gas a little at this point, but now, Verana, you called it. He really is good. He's had
You know, they weren't taking their foot off the gas from what I was seeing. Tomas Greiss, of all people, was standing on his head.
He did play well. he did play well last night. He really did. And Verana's he's had 20 goals in 37 games with the Wings.
Yeah, I mean, you know, kind of what might have been, you know, if he was healthy all year. But, you know, you guys are wherever you're supposed to be. And the nasty rumor around Pittsburgh, because I was there this weekend, and I want to thank everyone that came out to the Club Cafe, packed to the gills. Even Randy when I was on DV this morning, which you're going to hear tomorrow, said it was packed. So I want to thank everyone that came out. But the rumor is you guys are getting rusty. That's the big rumor.
Really?
Is that we won't – that Lemieux's money will not be as much as Stevie Y's money, and Rusty's going home.
Oh, my golly. Well, we would sure like him.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of – you know, as it progresses, I see the chances of re-signing Russ going down, and I do think he'll go, you know, back to where he's from, if anywhere. So, I don't blame Yzerman. They've got a lot of younger guys than Rusty there. Rusty's one. He can become one of the leaders right away, which they need. And obviously, he can play in every situation. He's a guy that's going to, you know, put up, you know, 30 easily for a few years still. So, you know, he's going to cost a lot of money. And I would think the Penguins would match it up to a point. But if it's going to be too much, it's too much. I mean, especially with, you know, if they're going to keep the big three together.
And you think the Wings have the best shot at him?
Well, I mean,
absolutely.
If that's the rumor, yeah.
Well, I think he's absolutely, because I think, you know, if Stevie Y has money, he wants to get a proven veteran leader. Rusty wore the A on various Penguin games.
Yeah.
You know, and he's won two cups, and he plays exactly the way Stevie Y wants to play.
Yep.
I mean, think about, Russ could jump right into Tampa Bay. That's the way he plays.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
That's Stevie Y hockey. So I see that as a perfect fit. And you're not competing against someone chasing the ring. He has to. You know, you're not going to outbid him. Well, why are you going to Detroit? You're not going to win in 3 years. Well, you know, I already have two rings. I want to be next. My kids need to be next to their grandparents, and I want to play in Detroit.
Yeah, I love that. I love that scenario. Well, that would be great for us if we got him.
What are the numbers that the Penguins aren't willing to match? Have you heard that? Like, what's the neighborhood of?
I don't know, but I heard they completely lowballed Gino and Letang. So, but Gino's probably going to stay just because he's Gino. But Letang was offended. So, okay, you know, leave.
we'll take him too.
you know, if we can't win with him, what's the sense? But it is 16 straight seasons in the playoffs for the Penguins. They lead North America, all big four teams. They're the leader in the clubhouse, 16 straight. Of course, nowhere near, I believe, the 25 set in Detroit. And the way things are going, if there was five more games, they wouldn't add this year. So I don't know. But the big, big news, Tristan Jarry, out, broken foot, was pushed to the team pitcher in a wheelchair.
Wow.
Or a chair via, you know, Weekend at Bernie style. I don't think he's going to be back in 10 days.
No.
No, probably not.
He's definitely missing the first round. And I would think coming back at some point in the theoretical second round would be best case scenario. I mean, this is really the worst thing that could have happened.
That's not good
Besides
news.
Crosby getting hurt, I would say the second guy they couldn't lose on that team this whole year, and especially in the playoffs, was Jarry. And what really stinks was this was his chance to redeem himself. He's been waiting all year to play playoff games, to play well in them, because that's what we've been waiting for. It's kind of like, you know, with the Leafs, we've all been waiting for this time. So I just feel really bad for Jarry. You know, I didn't think their chances were great with him. I think they're really terrible without him.
Who's your guy?
They're a terrible team. I mean, it's going to be DeSmith, it looks like.
Unless they give Louis Domingue a couple games, unless Louis Domingue plays, they're not going to win anything. Casey DeSmith is not going to win more than two games against one of the top teams. To me, the best scenario is we play Carolina. If it all shakes out that we get to play Carolina, maybe Gino Machino, he's good against Carolina in the playoffs. Sid gets hot. Who knows? They get some butterflies. We're not beating Igor. We're not beating Florida. You know, there's no way we're beating those two teams. There's a glimmer of hope if Domingue can play against Carolina. But we will move on. Michael Bossy passes away. One of the two or three greatest goal scorers of all time. Frage, what do you remember most about Mr. Bossy?
Well, just his, what you said, his ability to score. You know, he had that natural ability, and nine straight, 50 goal seasons? I mean, unheard of. Unbelievable, really. Just, you know, his offensive style of play was just very few at that level, maybe two or three, like you say.
Well, he's like the great Lynn Swann. I mean, Lynn Swann played, what, 10 years? I think Bossy played 11. 11 years, nine of them you put up 50.
That's unbelievable. No, unbelievable.
Swanee played eight.
Oh, Swanee played eight? Okay, so I was...
Swanee played eight, and Mr. Bossy played 10.
Oh, it was 10, okay, yeah.
The first nine, his rookie year, he got 50.
Unbelievable.
He had 5 years of 60. Here's a stat for you.
Wow.
He's 0.01 more goals per game than Lemieux.
Wow.
Lemieux's number two on that. By 0.1. I mean, when I was a little kid, I'm telling you, it was Guy Lafleur and Mike Bossy were the whole deal. Mike Bossy's when he raised his number to the Banners, he said he thanked God for being an Islander, and he said, "I love Brian Trottier."
Wow. Yeah, what a player, man.
I mean, just, you know, him and Bossy, you know, they were, you know, only unsat by the next great dynasty of Messier and Gretzky. And so, yeah, I think it's sad, but the guy just had such an amazing career for you. Look at the length. I would have thought he played 12, 13 seasons, but to have nine 50-goal seasons and you only played 10.
Unbelievable.
I mean, think about that.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically Jim Brown. He just walked away on top.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Jim wasn't injured, but, you know, just incredible. Speaking of walking away, BC's Jerry York retired. And Jerry's put more guys in the NHL than probably any college there is.
Probably, think. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Penguins, too. I've only been to college hockey in a few places, and I have been there, and it's a crazy atmosphere. When they play BU... I mean, that's as intense as it gets for a hockey game. And, you know, I mean, it's for as long as I can remember, he was the guy that in college hockey that everybody knew. He was like Coach K, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
same
everybody
kind of thing.
Knows,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Coach York.
Here's something I did not know, that Denver, I must have been on the road busy, Denver won the NCAA this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did know that.
I didn't follow
well,
crazy close.
What the hell happened to Michigan? Michigan has like five guys playing right now in the NHL. They all debuted like a week later. They're in the NHL. How the hell did
I couldn't
lose,
figure
Frank?
That out either. I didn't. That was a hard one to figure.
Well, they kept losing players all year to the World Juniors.
Yeah, we lost guys during
different select tournaments. Owen Power. I know he played a lot of games. He didn't play as many as he could. And I think that when you have so many guys that are going to be in the NHL within a month. it can be very hard to focus on winning that tournament. I think sometimes it really hinders the better teams.
We did have a loaded lineup, though.
Yeah, because it's not going to be a season. It's not going to be a summer. You are going to be playing. Owen Power went from Michigan Wolverine to a Buffalo Sabre in what, like 13 hours, 24 hours? You're going to be in the NHL next week. Yeah. So it's got to be crazy hard to focus in that tournament.
I'll tell you what, Vlad the Impaler, Tarasenko, made him look like he was still in grade school.
That's going to happen.
That was one of the greatest goals I have ever seen. If you have not seen it, anybody listening to this show, Google it. Vladimir Tarasenko, the night he got the hat trick, just insanity. He pushed the puck past Power and then did a modified Forsberg, the stamp on our buddy, Mr. Hirsch. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, he's pretty spectacular when he decides to be, isn't he? I mean, that guy's always been a great player.
Yeah, through injuries and everything, through questioning, you know, contracts and stuff like that, you know, he's really, you know, helped bring a cup to St. Louis. He really is a successful guy that I don't think is mentioned enough.
I flagged the article, which maybe we'll come to in summer programming if we want to really dig in on our buddy Ronnie Francis, but they went through and listed everyone who Seattle took and then everyone they could have took. They didn't take Vladimir Tarasenko.
Wow.
I remember at the time we thought, well, his shoulder must be mangled up. Doesn't look hurt anymore.
He's playing great now.
How many jerseys would Vlad sell in Seattle? And I'll tell you, I may have to rearrange my rankings. We'll get to the Kings in a minute, but the Blues, you know, they're on fire. They've scored more than 4 goals in 11 straight games, just cooled off last night. Yeah, they have a Russian line. It's killing it.
They lost last night, but they have 9 wins in a row prior to that.
Well, they're getting that depth support that they always pull out of nowhere. That Kyrou kid is amazing. I love watching him play. And yeah, the Blues, the West is pretty open below Colorado. Way more open than the East.
I'll tell you that the Colorado-Washington game, that was like the Super Bowl on a Monday night. That was just fabulous hockey. And then you realize that Colorado didn't have Landeskog, they didn't have Kadri, and they didn't have Devin Toews set the night out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my goodness.
That was a good game.
That was fun.
Yeah.
They're getting to the point where maybe you could call them a better roster than Tampa, which is kind of, you know, insane to think. I mean, I'm not saying it's true yet, but it's close. It's an argument.
It's getting there. It is getting there. I'll tell you one thing that's even crazier, too, is how about a 778? Are you kidding me? Now, Frage, me and you were trying to do the math in our heads about Ovi catching Gretzky for 9 years. And now it's easy to do.
It's pretty easy.
He's so close. Yeah. He's so close.
I was thinking about, what, maybe 2 seasons, maybe 3?
I think two. And Ovechkin has had, there's some players that go through their career with great luck with injury and just toughness combined because he's a tough guy and he plays through injuries. Plus, he hasn't really had any bad ones. That's the only thing that will stop him from doing it in 2 years, I think.
I think you're right. It would have to be a bad injury.
Bad luck. It would just have to be bad luck because what's he going to slow down the next 3 months? You know, is he going to not be – if he's even 70% of what he was this year.
He doesn't look like he's slowing down at all.
I still think he gets it in 2 years. So, you know.
What I think has happened, though, is he's definitely going to catch him now.
Yeah, like,
He could hit a rut, rip his leg in half, have one surgically repaired bionically, rehab, come back in 3 years, and get 20 goals a year for 5 more. Like, he's not going to not get it now.
He's going to get it.
I think that I think last year he really, you know, the math started to get clearer of, like, this is no longer a possibility, it's a probability. And now this year with him playing the way he's played – I don't think anyone would bet against it. You'd have to be crazy to bet against
it. No,
it looks like
it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a chance he can get 1,000.
Wow.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. I don't know. Like, at some point, you'd have to think it would just playing, especially playing the way he does. He's a bull. That it would get on him. But you know, the way these guys, you know, take care of their bodies now in the off season and stuff like that is, I don't know. Maybe he does play into his early 40s and gets to that 1,000.
It all depends, like you said, if he has an injury.
It really does. And like Joe said, even with an injury, I think he's still able to do it. It's just going to take.
Oh, he's still going to break it.
Yeah, he's gonna.
I'll tell you, I always kind of undercut the Capitals a little bit, not because I don't like them. I don't have any ill will towards the Capitals. I just thought they were a step behind. I'll tell you what. First of all, they have Laviolette, who's just a great coach. But him giving him three lines, dropping Tommy down to the third line, playing him with Eller, who's a Class A prick, and Mantha, that gives them a big third line. You move Sheary up, who, you know, he makes scores, big goals. Now they're a true third-line team. And Carlson, who, you know, was on the milk box half the season, Carlson's playing good hockey again.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't want to – I mean, I think the Capitals are going to pass the Penguins. And then Capitals-Rangers would be huge, but I'll tell you, the Capitals will beat Carolina. There's no doubt in my mind, though, unless Samsonov implodes.
Well, and Freddie's got some stuff going on, too, in Carolina. I don't know. I'm not as high on Carolina as I used to be. I used to have them right there with the Rangers. I still think I like them a little bit more than the Caps as far as winning a seven-game series. But the Caps are just going to be a tough out. I don't think that they're going to make it to the conference finals or anything like that, but they're going to – whoever has to bump them out is going to be tough. And I don't think anybody besides the Florida teams really have a good shot.
I just think there's a physicality on Washington that Carolina just doesn't have. And it's one thing to have the guys that have been through the turmoil, like your Sids, your Genos, your Snakes. I haven't seen those guys say, hey, I'm going to take a beating from Tommy for seven games.
That's why Tommy's such a big factor.
You know? And they got Mantha now. You know, it just gets – I mean, I don't know. There's no way I want to play in the East except the Penguins.
No. Yeah, I agree. And I think the Penguins I don't think they win a series against anyone in the East, but I do think the Caps and the Carolina are their best shot at winning a series, but I still pick Carolina or the Caps in six, probably five.
Now, guys, do the Leafs get out of the first round this year?
I don't know. If they play a Florida team, I think that they have a real good shot against the Panthers. I think the Tampa looks tired. I even 3 weeks ago I said I would be shocked, and then last week I said surprised. Now I don't know how surprised they'd be if they got through. I really don't.
I like the fact that now he's waking up and he's playing. He said, you know what, we'll lose a little speed. He played Simmons and Kyle Clifford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do. It's funny. He sat Clifford the game. Simmons got his head kicked in by Ross, the boss. It's like, you should have left that one for Clifford.
Yeah.
You know, Wayne, you're getting older now. But, you know, that's what they need. And I'll tell you, you know, they got Muzzin back and they got Lubitsch, and they got some guys now, and they're winning without Austin Matthews, who's stuck at 50. He's not stuck. He's day to day on 58.
Wow.
I mean, and it looks like Campbell's played a couple of decent games. So,
and look at Giordano.
Yes,
looking like
Giordano playing well.
He looks like Scott Niedermayer all of a sudden. Like, yep. Joe, again, another guy who leaves Hackstall. And all of a sudden, he's back to his former self.
That's a great point, Andy. Yes. That's a dogfight there. I just like how they got the McCaleb guy and Kampf, and there's another guy I'm missing.
Bunting plays hard hockey for them. Good man.
Yeah, Bunting, but he's on the fourth line. They got a legit – I mean, first line, it should be. They have a legitimate third line now. I'm missing the guy I forgot him last week too, but they have a legitimate third line now. Then your fourth line, you got your Cliffords and your Simmons. That's the way you build a championship team. Once you got past the Sullivan, hey, we got Sid and Gino, and we're better than you. The last 5 years, it's been built that same way: two scoring lines, a grinder third, and some thugs. And yeah. That's what they got.
And they got that now.
And puck moving and puck controlling defensemen. I think the Giordano coming in there. And
that helped him.
Playing 25, 26 minutes plus. A guy that constantly is carrying the mail up the ice. That's a huge help. That's something they haven't had back there, you know, in a while to help out Riley, who I think is a little overrated.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if Riley, if Giordano can get to 80% of himself, that's pretty much better than Riley. I've just always thought Riley was completely overrated.
I agree
by that.
I agree, and I think that Riley's never had a year as good as Gio's best years. I think the Vezina race, or Vezina, the Norris race has shown that in past years. But I didn't expect Gio to, you know, to play this well for them. He's fit right in. I think he just knows what to do. He's been a vet. He's been in the league a long time. He looks up the ice. He knows where to find his wingers breaking out. Marner is the master of getting lost in the neutral zone and then just dangling at the blue line.
And he's playing well this year.
He's one of the best setup men that I've ever seen now at this point, too. He's reaching that the Joe Thornton, Sidney Crosby level of, like, these passes are just out of this world.
Giordano is the perfect age of someone that he couldn't carry Seattle. But to fit in on a really good team and his skill and his knowledge and his physicality, it's perfect. It's like he's like Larry Murphy. He couldn't carry the team anymore, but he went from Pitt. He went to Detroit and just fit right in perfectly.
Yeah. No, it's Toronto in the past month, I've totally changed my tune on them from just thinking they're a good team that's going to win regular season games to thinking they could. Win if they went on a run, I'm not surprised now at all. Again, especially with if they catch Florida first round, no Ekblad, I think that really could work out for them.
That's a tough assignment.
It's tough, but I think that Florida's better than them with Ekblad. I think without Ekblad, it's a push.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough. But what this comes down to, and then we're gonna move on again because it's always Penguin talk. You know, hey, at the deadline, what did they do? They went out. And they got the defenseman that they needed.
Yep.
And the Penguins haven't beaten a team that's in the playoffs since the trade deadline. Think about that.
Wow.
And there's no NIT for the Stanley Cup phrase. You gotta play playoff teams.
That's right.
In the playoffs.
And do you know how many times the other playoff teams have lost to a non-playoff team in the Metro since the deadline?
Probably never.
As of last night, it was zero. I didn't check the scores last night. But they're all winning. They're all winning besides the Devils, the Penguins, and the Flyers. Those are the teams that aren't winning right now in these final 2 weeks of the season in the Metro.
And I'll prove the point, and I'll say it again. I'll say it till the day I die. What happened? How did Jari get hurt? The Islanders ran him five times because no one stood up. You don't think that big Nick Deslauriers would have taken a shot at somebody's head? At some point.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this season exceeded expectations for them so much in the front office. They almost weren't prepared to be buyers to the deadline, or they weren't prepared.
I don't think they were prepared at all.
Yeah. Who do you think they're going to play first round?
I mean, it's a total guess with them because – with only four games remaining, and I'd have to look at everybody's schedules, almost anything could happen. They could go 0-4 or 4-0. It wouldn't really mean much. So I don't know. I think that the Carolina and New York are obviously the two biggest odds are with them. So I think it'll definitely be one of those two.
Who do you think you'd rather see him play?
Like Joe said, Carolina. I think New York beats him in 4 or 5. I think Sid goes nuclear at MSG for one game, and maybe they win that game, and if they do, that's the game they win. And I think they just get frustrated to death with not scoring on Igor, and they lose quickly. Carolina, I think that they, you know, if they won in 6, I wouldn't be surprised. If they lost in 5, wouldn't be surprised. It'll be a series.
The other factor here is just Sid and Gino, and then we will move on, everybody. You can skip ahead. Sid and Gino in Bobo's head in South Florida. Not really. There'll be half the crowd will be Penguin fans. You never know. The team we're not going to beat is the Rangers, and I'm not just saying that to get the hidden vigorish the other way. I just don't see us beating Igor four times. We couldn't score on him. We only scored him once in the regular season. So it's going to happen.
And even a tired Tampa that's not playing great, I don't see them beating.
Oh, we're not beating Tampa. Tired Tampa. We're not beating Tampa. We're not beating John Cooper. We're not beating Tampa. We're just not going to do it.
No. And like, I agree with the Rangers, and with the way the Caps have played recently, I don't know that I'd see it there either.
Yeah, the Caps are one of those weird things. You just never know. Tommy gets suspended five games because he runs, Dan Heinen or something. I don't know. The Capitals is just some fishy things. You never know what could happen. But I just don't see us beating the Rangers or Tampa as the two. And Boston would be tough because we don't seem to play good against Boston.
Yeah, I think they beat us.
Did you see they called Patty Bergeron for a hook the other day? He was stunned. It was like he saw a ghost. it was Stutzel, and then Stutzel scored. Bergeron was purple in the box. Wow. Couldn't believe it. And I've never seen Bergeron called for a penalty. I didn't even think it was possible.
I think that the referees and the players right now seem to be at war. I'm not saying it's always been cordial, but man, there have been some battles over how the game's being called right now. I think it's part of the problem is how many refs are calling it differently. Like, what is a hook changes night to night. And I know Tim Peel's not still around, but there still is this. It's amazing when you watch as many games as Joe does, for instance, how different a game can be called in the same league the same night.
Inconsistency.
Turn the channel over, and all of a sudden, all of these little stick lifts that you were seeing in the game before are slashes and hooks. And, the 7 p.m. They were just good hockey plays. It can get confusing.
And, that's one. That's, I think, one of the reasons why scoring's up. Because I think more ticky-tack power plays are being put on the ice. And also, I heard, I believe it might have been Peter McNabb on Avalanche game. Somebody claimed that he thought scoring was up because of how early teams pull the goaltender nowadays. And you're adding about 50 goals a season now because of that.
Huh.
Way more empty netters this year.
Oh, I never would have even thought of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I guess it was genius. Yeah.
I hope somebody this week, and I was watching the Avs.
Makes sense.
I don't know. But it was a good point. Did you see? I'll tell you, and I got to give a shout out to, Darlene. I don't know if I would have taken him number one, but I like Darlene's game. He's got some balls.
He's mean.
You see? Darlene, the kid from Buffalo.
I wasn't saying his name. I was saying he's mean. He's a mean kid.
Oh, he's
he plays mean. Yeah, he throws elbows. His stick is pretty wild. He's fun to watch. He's in the Pronger School of defensemen, which I did not think he was.
No, the first couple years, I don't know if he was just like, hey, I'm not going to get hurt with I'm not standing up for our captain, but. Like Kopechne ran him. He just turned around and two-handed Kopechne, and Kopechne like Superman punched him. It was great. Yeah. He stood there. He said, "So Kopechne then scored. So I get the Korea." And then Darlene came out of the box and scored. He gets the claw. It's like the double awards on one.
Double
play.
Awards on one play. Yeah, you gotta love that.
Yeah, I think that the Buffalo fans have gone a total 180 this year too.
Yeah,
I mean, now they've got two of the better young defensemen in this league. There's a lot of good young defensemen, but I really think Owen Power will be great. And Darlene is, I like guys that take two or three years back there to get comfortable because they tend to then be good for eight or nine.
Well, in the last third of the season, they've played well.
Well, look at the guys that come in on fire, like Dion Phaneuf, and I'm not taking a shot at Mark Stahl. A lot of those guys, they play great for 4 years, and then they kind of get figured out. It's like, okay, here's when he pinches. Here's when he steps up for the big hit. Here's when the players that kind of get accustomed to playing, good defensive hockey first and being in position first, that tend to be around longer.
I'll tell you, though, one guy they'll never figure out is Cal McCarr.
Well, he's a freak.
He does it all. And he's like, geez, he looks like Paul Coffey.
Yeah, he does. He does. That's who he looks like.
Nobody skates like Cal McCarr. He dominates a game. I mean, just it, he controls everything.
And
he's
you're
like
right.
Paul Coffey. He's like 80s Paul Coffey. Our listeners can go back to there. I mean, like Edmonton Penguin Paul Coffey, not when he was the traveling Yager road show on 30 teams. But,
no,
you know,
the Oiler Coffey was hard to top.
Yeah.
And it's the skating. And that's what Makar has, too.
Well, he has this way of skating that I've only seen. I've seen a few kids in juniors that are that do it. They're able to do it in juniors, but I don't know if they could do it in the NHL, where he's moving so fast with his feet almost facing different directions. And he's like kind of moving parallel. And he's moving so fast at that parallel speed. I don't know if many other guys in the league can even do that. And it makes him open for shooting lanes always. Because if he's not open, he just goes into that little weird, like opening his skates into the V formation, and he's going as fast as anyone at top speed.
Well,
that's another great point, Andy. That is what you see. Not only is he the doctor coming up ice and in the power play, I've never seen someone skate sideways. Like he skates like you're playing EA Sports NHL 94. Like he's going diagonal, like he's going parallel. Side to side.
No, the laws of physics seem like it shouldn't happen. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know how you move that fast at that angle with your skates in different directions.
Well, the original model of that, of course, was Bobby Orr.
For sure. And I think Bobby Orr and Brian Rafalski, you know, I know that's pulling a name, and Scotty Niedermayer, watching the way they were able to skate, they skated beautifully and their pivots were amazing. But there's this new way of skating that, again, I've seen it in juniors, but the only guy in the NHL I've really seen do it is Makar. And it's just that maintaining speed when you're slipping through the slot and you're going sideways. I don't know how he does it. I'd love to know who his skating coach was growing up, or if he just figured out how to do that on his own.
Well, it's like Lindstrom and Gonchar and Al MacInnis. When they walk the line so fluidly, you can still see their skates. It's like you don't see Makar skating.
It's like the Tasmanian Devil.
Yeah,
he's
a step faster at everything too.
It's just
he's fast when he's seemingly standing still.
Yeah, it's like he's just moving magnetically across the board. It's like he's not actually skating. Did you see Boldy's between the leg goal?
I was going to say, what a goal. What a goal. Talk about Tarasenko. That was a Tarasenko-type move.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I think that just like how the fans like fighting, the fans like the high-skill goals, too.
Sure.
Whenever these Michigans or these crazy goals are going in, no one's sitting.
No one's exciting.
Oh, that was hot doggy, and that's too – they're skilling it up. Only one guy in an announcer booth said it. I think it's great for the league that these kids are finding these inventive ways to score.
Now, is that a one-off, or is Boldy going to be a good player?
You know, I think that every NHL player in the right spot can pull off that shot, so maybe he got lucky and got it. It just he had the room, the time, it was there, and he did it. I haven't watched the guy enough. I got to be honest. Like I can't.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good for
him. Yeah,
that was
he's
a
pretty
great...
good. I don't know how many All Star votes he'll get because he's on the same team as Kaprizov, but he's a good player and he's young. He's a really good player. He's clutch too. He scored some big goals for them, and they also have about nine guys they'll kick your head in. So no one's calling.
Yeah, that's a tough
Beagle's
team.
Not gonna rough, Jay Beagle's not going to rough up anyone in the Minnesota Wild. He's going to go pick up his pension.
The Wild do have a lot going on for him.
Yeah, and Flower wants to come back and play one more year, but he's a free agent, so you never know. Jari, you better go hit the bike. You'll be out of a job.
Yeah.
Matt Duchesne, where have you been? 40 goals this year, the Nashville record.
Wow.
Matt Duchesne, after years of not showing up, big time. He must be a pending free agent for him to play like this. He must.
Something's going on. Yeah, he has looked good this year.
There's too many great players in the mix, and I'm not literally putting them in the mix, but I mean, if I'm in Nashville, I'm saying, hey, you got to at least mention Yossi and when you're talking about MVPs here. He has had such a great year in the back end, and I think if you took Roman Yossi off of Nashville, Duchesne's stats go down a third, and their power play goes that's great is probably terrible. I think Yossi has really had a year where you know, it's really, I think he's had his best year I've seen him. I might be wrong statistically, but he's been great.
Well, don't you think, I mean, half the team, 16 teams make the playoffs, so half of them don't. So don't you think on every, there's at least 10 to 15 legitimate MVP candidates?
Well, this year, I think.
Leading a team to the playoffs.
Well, this year, though, I think that's true every year, where maybe this year it's so clearly got to go to like one of three guys that I don't think you can even mention the other 10. It's like cute to mention, but it's like, it's so clearly going to Matthews, Igor, or Hubie, or Gaudreau. I mean, it's got to go to one of those four. There's no way.
Hubie just passed McDavid for assists.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he leads in points right now.
Yeah, or points, excuse me. Yeah. To me, it'd be Huberdeau, Austin Matthews, or Johnny Hockey. Those would be my three.
Yeah, it does stink that Igor fell off a little bit, but it's not a stat.
Well, he's going to win it. He's like 4-1 in his last five. He's got the Vezina. You know, enjoy your Vezina, Igor. I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah, I just try and do that thing of take the player off the team. Is the team still a playoff team? And I think that that for Igor and for Austin Matthews, the answer is definitely no. No. For Igor, it's definitely no. For Matthews, maybe, but not really. No, they're not making the playoffs without Matt. I still think it's Matthews. I think it's Matthews.
Calgary's had some great guys. I mean, Tkachuk might get 100 points, and Mangiapane's got 34 goals, and Dubé's waking up, and you know, Markstrom's very good, but you take Johnny Hockey off that team, who the hell knows where they're at? I mean, Johnny Hockey is. When Daryl Sutter is claiming how good you are, and they're saying, the GM says, we'll move heaven and earth to keep Johnny Hockey next year.
Yeah, when Daryl's giving you props, you're doing good.
Yeah, well, they better do something. I mean, they need a new arena, and man, if you lose a player like that, when you're battling for a new place to play, that's not good. You don't want that.
You better not let him go to Philly, Calgary. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I think that's where he's going.
Stevie Y's going after him.
Letty is back for St. Louis. How good St. Louis is. Letty's back. Here's something you always hear, or here's something the attendance for, I believe it was Saturday, NHL. Here's all the teams at 100% sell, or at least bought, maybe, but I don't know exactly, but 100%. Avs, Habs, Tampa Bay, Ottawa, must have been bobblehead night, Dallas Stars, LA Kings, Blues, Rangers, Boston Bruins, Nashville, the Kraken. Now, here's who was not at 100% capacity. All you Western Canada guys, Edmonton, 97%. Calgary, 87%. What? And then Buffalo at 58%, which is really kind of sad, because it really is the best market in the United States. Because, you know, usually when it's like, say it's Detroit versus whoever, St. Louis, the number one market for non-Detroit or St. Louis is always Buffalo. It's what? It's like Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Buffalo and Chicago are the lead in ratings when it comes to hockey. In Buffalo, for having a small city and not too many, you know, not too many good seasons lately, they're always way up in ratings, and it's a shame that they don't have much attendance right now.
Yeah, it is a shame, and you know they're having a great last third of the year too. They're playing well.
Yeah, and I think that you know, with attendance since all the COVID weirdness and you know the economy being the way it is, I think that it's a big ask. I was reading an article the other day. It's still the NHL, you know, is the most expensive sport for a family of four to go to, and you know, I don't. I think right now people are okay with watching it on TV. I don't think it's that big of a reflection necessarily on some of the clubs. I think it's kind of a reflection of the time we're in, especially in Canada where people are still a little bit, you know, COVID. Precautious up there.
And that it's weird that Calgary's 87%, though, because every Calgary game I watch is one of the only arenas that I can't see empty seats.
It is, but I know that
every other arena, all I see is empty seats, because most of the expensive seats, the guys are back at the buffet and in the happy hour, you know. It's like Calgary, that's why they need a new arena, because all their fans are still in their seats. There's new arenas. They're all back at the bar.
Sure.
Speaking of new arenas, did you see the first interior shots of that new place in Phoenix?
You mean the college one or the new arena?
No, the college
one. How's it look?
No.
there's no way that's 5,000 people. Like, I don't, if they put 5,000 people in there, if there's a fire, they're going to lose 3,000. Like, that, it is so small.
Really? That small?
I can't even believe that they are going to try and lie and say it's going to be 5,000. Like, I have played in arenas in high school. Hey, Andy Fiore, how much bigger is is South Mountain Arena than where the freaking, where they're going to, it's tiny.
Now, was it a college?
It's a college arena. They're saying 5,000. I think that price probably going to be more like 3,000.
Well, if you want to find out how many obstacle people can fit in there, book George Lopez and have David Louie from the Punchline seat them. And that's exactly how many people you'll fit. That'll be the absolute most amount of people you could ever fit in a room.
Yeah, he'll sell it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're going to sell it out, but I think for an NHL experience to be there, it's going to be odd. It's going to be super odd. I think it's going to make the COVID years look normal, seeing them playing something that small, because it looks smaller than all the big colleges, like, you know, Michigan State. It looks smaller than all those arenas.
Well, it's going to be fun. I can't wait to go see a game there then. I mean, well, I remember going to see the NFL in the crappy soccer stadium, and it was nuts how close they were. Kings last night beat the Duckies on a very questionable goal. I don't know how that one didn't get called. It did get called off, and then they reviewed it, and I think they said, hey, we want the Kings in the playoffs, and here we go.
But, and we don't want Vegas, and that game really hurt Vegas' chances.
Yes, it did. And
good. I love it.
Yeah. By the way,
Even without Dowdy, I thought the Kings looked good. And I was shocked. And old Olimata playing some minutes. God, he looked decent as a Penguin still. But it was the Quickie.
Quickie was off the charts
back last night.
Boy, was he good.
I still don't know what the Getzlaff shot hit. I didn't see the replay, but Getz had like an open net and it just didn't go in. I was surprised how great he's playing, and he's leaving. You know, like, he really still looks amazing.
His would-be assist to Milano that somehow Quickie got was ridiculous. He stopped Milano point-blank in the middle of the ice, right down front. But on the side, how he got his pad on that perfect pass on the power play from Getzlaff was insane. Getzlaff actually tapped Quickie on the pads after the game.
Wow. Well, you know, he looked like the old Quickie, acrobatic and flopping around and all over the place. He was great.
Yeah, he really was. And I thought that, you know, the Ducks, man, like Zegras and Terry, they're really playing like they still have a shot at making the playoffs. I thought played a great game too. Gibson was locked in. You know, he got outplayed by Quickie, but he still played great.
Excellent game.
That was a great hockey game. That looked like a playoff hockey game. That looked like two teams that should be playing in the spring here.
Here's the funny thing here. Getz has faced Dusty 89 times in regular season and postseason. The number one duo for two guys that have faced each other that are still playing right now, Thornton and Dusty, have faced each other 105 times.
Wow.
It doesn't seem that Dusty is that old, but it's just, you know, he's been around a while.
Did we mention that Stamkos hit a milestone last night?
Not yet.
No, I was looking at it right there. Go ahead, Frege.
Well, he has tied Martin St. Louis. 953 points, ties for the top of most amount of points in Tampa Bay, which is awesome. Good for Stammer.
You know, he's great. I'm sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
No. You talk about a guy playing on top of his game.
Yeah, he's playing
Stamkos
great.
Stamkos looks like he hasn't won anything yet. Guy has two rings. I mean, that's who you want as a captain.
And this has just always been my point about not to take a shot at Chicago here, but why I always, whenever I'd read like, oh, the all decade team, and I'd see Crosby and then always Jonathan Toews, it's like pretending like Stamkos wasn't here to me, you know what I mean? I'm not just saying to trash somebody else, but I've always felt like Stammer is underrated. And I think these last two cups have brought him a little bit more into the spotlight, and it stunk that he has been hurt for so many playoff games in his career, because I think they probably have one more if Stammer
they
didn't
might.
Have you
yeah.
know, what, those three seasons where he missed huge chunks of the playoffs. So to me, he's, you know, as much as you hear about him, still underrated.
Yes, and it's got to be a little bit of Tampa Bay, but he has the advantage of growing up in the Toronto area. Are they mad he didn't come back to Toronto when he flirted with it? I don't know. It's a great point, because it was almost like he just got a little usurped by the McDavid Express and the Matthews Express, because he was kind of the next level after Sid and Ovi. And it's kind of like they just kind of jumped him a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's totally true. He's in that next rung, and then the young guys come in, the really exciting young guys come in, and you kind of get lost in the mix. And I think if same thing with Getz. Hey, if Getz plays in Toronto, he probably already has a statue. You know what I mean?
Oh, it would be him. The guy's an animal.
Yeah, it does. The market does matter, but I've always felt like those two guys, if you're putting together an all-star team of that era, down the center, you got Sidney, Getz, Stamkos, and Burge. That's, to me, is the four from that
That's
era.
That's a nice lineup.
Yeah, and before we get, well, I guess we'll do him on the we'll give him an award. Let's get to the awards, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, the Linda Cohn. We have Jordan Kyrou. The Linda Cohn goal went 5-hole on 33 in Nashville. I didn't look up who 33 was, but going 5-hole, just going right through you. Jordan Kyrou is good, but wait, is he Rocket Richard?
I saw that goal. Yeah, that was. Wow.
Oh, I gave Darlene the Hartnell Award for just killing you when you're so mad at him anyway, and he scores anyway. And then Frederick of Boston got the Shanny Kevin Stevens, the big check, and goes and scores the goal. So there we go.
I love the way
your
he plays.
Fantasy update, courtesy of Andy Picaro.
I'm out. I lost in the semifinal. I forget his name. I was talking to him on Facebook. Nice guy. I'll shout you out next week, Blues fan. Matt Bowers. What's up, Matt?
Matt Bowers.
I had Austin Matthews. I had Malkin. I had Jari. These were all the guys scoring my points. And they all, you know, got hurt or got suspended this week. And then on top of that, some other guys didn't have good weeks. And, yeah, just didn't work out. I picked up Carey Price to try and save me. He got shelled for 3 goals.
We didn't even mention Price, and we won't, because he lost. The Howie, we're gonna give it to Pat Foley, the voice of the Chicago Blackhawks, one of the last great announcers. They're all dropping like flies, you know, Lang and Bob out here and Janot or Jennerette in Buffalo. Pat Foley. And it was great. He did a big, he had a beer with the fans at the end of the game.
Sweet.
From the booth. So hats off to Pat. I'm going to miss him. I love listening to Pat Foley call hockey.
Yep. One of the best.
The loss. Okay. There we go. The dirtbag, Pizzetta / TJ Oshie got 2 games. Kind of a crap slash there. The Mario, we have 2. On the ice, Ben Myers, first game, first goal for the Colorado Avalanche. And then a guy you crapped on last week, Ryan Hartman, for giving the finger to Evander. If anyone deserves the finger, it's Evander Kane. You guys went all over him. What's he doing? People are saying we hate Kane. They're paying his fine. He said he set up a Venmo. People are paying him Venmo money, and he's giving all the money to charity. So good on you, Ryan Hart.
That is good.
It's definitely good. I still would have liked to have seen the fight happen. But and how crazy is it that Kane's ex was sent him $200 too? Which, by the way, the more I hear about that story, the more I think Patrick Kane may have been more of a victim I'm sorry.
Don't besmirch the great Patty Kane.
But no, I just how petty. You're in a divorce and you donate money to the guy that gave your husband the finger. Ridiculous. What a child she must
be. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
she should get the Howie.
She should. That was pretty funny.
The Claude, we got the Darlene one. We also got the Danton Heinen, book him, Dano, against the New York against the New York Islanders. We have Owen Power against the skirt on Vlad. We hate to pick on the kid, but man, he got schooled.
Yeah, second
Muzzin, game. The old man got schooled by Johnny Carlson. And then Dylan Larkin. Just Alexi Lafreniere looking like number one pick against Dylan Larkin. Oh my goodness!
Oh my, I saw that,
and it wasn't a skirt per se, but that pocket pick last night by Verana on Surge as he's walking
that was
the
slick.
Blue line. That was pretty slick. And if you're Surge, I don't care if it's Verana. You know, that's not supposed to happen. Not supposed to walk the line and have somebody pick your pocket there.
I think Coop probably watched that in film today.
Oh, God. I would hate to be in that room.
Yeah. That was.
No pro bears, though. There could have been. Not that I thought. The Dio's Big Mac, Nathan MacKinnon, the Hatter and two helpers versus the Kings. Leon, he shall be Leon, the Hatter versus Nashville. Vlad, the hat trick and two assists versus Buffalo. And last night, doing everything, selling popcorn. Three goals, including the game winner in overtime, Sasha Alexander Barkov. Why did he change his name from Sasha to Alexander to Sasha? Shiri, Sherry. Now they're calling him Shiri again. I don't know what's going on.
I think the guys don't feel comfortable correcting the media because, you know, hockey players are, you know, they're just kind of polite dudes. I think they're going to be there a couple of years before they go, actually, my name is this. Like, remember,
he's a good Hubie. He thanked his teammate Sasha. I mean, Sasha's another great leader.
What a great player too! That last night he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, he is unbelievable. I'll tell you what, the playoffs are sick this year. Saves. We had Reimer on McCabe. The Brinkat. Reimer had a couple of big saves. Nedeljkovic on Jasper Fast. Frage.
Yeah.
Knight, the shoulder on Lucas Raymond. A Knight save on Lucas Raymond was sick. Sorokin on Verhaeghe with the assist coming from the Duke. And then you got to give it to Jonathan Quick last night.
Yep.
You take your pick. Milano, two of them he had in Getz. But also Gibby had one on Kempe that was pretty sweet. My vote, though, goes to Linda Cohn between the benches. Oh, Linda. I'm getting one with the glove. Yeah, I love it.
Well, you know, Quickie was like Quickie of old. He looked amazing.
He was, and the only goal that he was beat on was a Henrique move that was just nasty, an Adam Henrique move that was beautiful to the backhand move.
The whole team could have got the whole Kings team could have got the skirts on that one, too. Henrique went right through him.
He did.
I was just trying to be nice to the hometown here. All right, the goons of the week. I should look this one. Luch. Just running the Vegas goaltender. Just no questions asked. Just ran him. It was great. God bless the Luch. Doobie ran Dadanoff in that game. Tommy versus Clifford after Clifford after the goalie incident. We had Ross Johnson ran McCaleb, and then he fought Simmons, or Simmons tried to fight him. Maroon dusted Lidstrom of Detroit. And then a good one last night. Barbashev just knocked the hell out of Taylor Hall. It's always fun to see Taylor Hall get knocked over.
And Shin and Ben.
I give Hall respect, though, for chucking him down every once in a while. He's annoying, but you know what? He'll fight you.
All right, he definitely will fight you. He'll bring your team down. He's like he's a little better than James Neal.
Oof. James, I think playing in for the Iowa Stars right now or somewhere. I think he's still in the AHL. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he's enjoying the. I'm sure he's enjoying the Wild Wings waitresses in the Dubuque.
You know he's flying to those games too. The team's taking the bus. He's flying there.
Oh yeah.
I don't see James Neal getting on a coach to travel 12 hours to Binghamton, New York.
There's never been less of a team guy than James Neal.
No, I know. But that playoff, the face-off with Malkin was great while it was going.
Oh, yeah. I will be in Tampa tonight. If it comes out tonight, I'm in Tampa. And then I'm with Burr this weekend. And then my special, Monday night, Chicago, two shows at the Den, 7 and 9. If you're sick of me, Bill is also on the show and doing some time. So come see Bill. Stay for my hour. I want to thank everyone in Pittsburgh again. And I will be in Philly next Thursday. So come on. You're not watching the Flyer games. Come out Thursday the 28th.
Yeah, that's awesome. We wish you the very best, of course, on that special. I know it's going to go great. You are rocking everywhere you go, so you're ready to go, and I'm sure it's going to be an awesome special.
And I'm ready for that hockey guy number two on my IMDb. I've been refreshing to see for it to come up, but I can't wait for the special, too, to just selfishly see myself in it a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're in there, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
No, that's great, Joe. We're all rooting for you, and I know it's going to be great. Well, I am at the Improv again this weekend in Hollywood on Saturday night, and the Laugh Factory on Saturday night as well.
Yeah, I'll be going to Meatballs this Saturday, Jimmy and Joey, and then I've got New York dates coming up, but I don't know them yet. New York, New Jersey, I'm coming out there.
All right. Well, there you have it. And season winding down. We have the playoffs coming up. It's going to be amazing. And we thank all of you for joining us here on Puck Off. We want to thank our great producer, Aaron, and Andy Picaro, Joe Bartnick. Go see him down there in Tampa, Tampa fans. And we wish you the very best on Monday at the what's the name of the place you're playing at? For
The Den.
The Den in Chicago for the special. Frazier Smith here, and we are Puck Off. We are out.